All right, you guys, let me move on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. I'll remind you guys, as always, that the Right Side Way opening monologue is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. Stan McDonald, partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee. Stan McDonald is also a longtime conservative, and he is the daily sponsor of your Right Side Way monologue, and I'll tell you more about Stan here in just a minute. All right, look, let me just start by saying there's a lot of folks out there wondering what's next, right? The government shutdown. It's easy to talk about from a purely political perspective, but what about the folks who are being personally affected by it? What about that young captain or that young sergeant, both of whom have families who need to put food on the table? What about air traffic controllers who are already understaffed and now may have to work for free till it gets sorted out? What about government contractors or other GS civilians who find themselves with no one in the office and no ability to complete their contracts because all the folks they deal with are out on furlough? It's maddening, to be honest with you. It's also pretty dang scary. And that's where I want to focus right now. Look, I have friends and family like many of you who are facing the possibility of working without pay. So what do we do about it? Well, let's talk about that. Because if this show is going to spend the last 4.5 years we've been on the air talking about the idea that government should never be so big that we have to rely on it for everything, well, then I now have to say that in this time of uncertainty that we also then need to be there for our neighbors because the government is not getting it done. We should not wait on the government. We should look for ways to lighten the load of people who are facing the loss of their paycheck. You know, sometimes life will just dump stuff on you. Sometimes it seems like life is ganging up on you, just dumping more and more and more. It's true. We've all had those times, and some of you are probably going through it right now. Life, you know, just laying on the weight, and you find yourself thinking, I can only go so far. Well, that's when we have to watch out for each other and take a stand for each other. It reminds me of a friend of mine. This is an anecdotal story, and it's also going to be an analogy, but go with me here a minute. A guy that I only knew for a short season, but he left an indelible impression on me that I've never forgotten. So years ago in the late 80s, I was a young lieutenant. I went to Fort Benning, Georgia to attend the Infantry Officer Basic Course. And we had a number of foreign nationals who trained in our class, men who came from the armies around the world to be trained in the ways of the U.S. Army Infantry. Several of them were from Africa, and several of them were absolutely worthless. But there was one guy who became my friend who was just as solid as a rock. He was a scrappy little 5'4" dude from Malawi, Africa, named Bosco Masukwa. Bosco Masukwa, and that man could soldier, man, I'm telling you. He couldn't have weighed 98 pounds soaking wet, but he never had a bad attitude about anything. There were no complaints, no attempts to get out of duty or pretend he didn't understand the expectations. He was there to learn the art of war at the finest infantry school in the world, and he was not wasting any time in the process. He had a very deep voice, too, for his size, and he just sounded like the guy who used to sing that old song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. You know the song I'm talking about? We were down sometimes. Somebody would always yell, say it for us, Bosco. Without fail, he would smile and say, 4th platoon, don't worry, be happy. But there was one day, though, we were at the tail end of a major field exercise. It was the culminating event, a 17-mile road march to a live fire after days and days of little sleep. Guys were getting pretty ragged in the Georgia summer heat. We started off with roughly 2,100, that's 9 p.m. for you civilians, and marched all night in full combat gear. Every squad member had their own individual packing list. Our rucksacks, ammo pouches were full enough, but then you had to disseminate all of what's known as the squad common equipment. So we had the massive PRC-77 radio. It weighed 14 pounds. You had the extra batteries for the radio. That weighed a couple of pounds each. There was the M60 machine gun. That weighed 23 pounds. The tripod, the pendle, and the traversing elevation mechanism for that M60. It weighed another 16 pounds. There was the extra, belted 7.62-millimeter ammo for the M60. That weighed 6 pounds for every 100 rounds. And the squad would carry anywhere from 600 to 1,000 rounds spread out among the members. Look, all told, the various members of a squad were sharing the load of equipment that totaled somewhere between 85 and 100 pounds. But you spread it out. Like I said, you spread it out among the members of the squad. So that night, we're somewhere around 01 in the morning. I was the acting squad leader. And I was walking up and down the line checking on my men, making sure they were drinking water, making sure they had their equipment, all that kind of stuff. And at one point, though, I noticed that Bosco, little bitty Bosco, 5'4", 98 pounds, Bosco, he had the M60. Well, it wasn't his turn to tote that 23-pound M60. Then I noticed I could also see the tripod to the M60 strapped on top of his ruck. Oh, by the way, I could see an extra belt of ammo hanging around his neck. And to top it all off, I could see the antenna for the radio poking out the top of his ruck. That little 98-pound scrappy dude from Malawi, Africa? was carrying almost the entire squad's common equipment. I would guess that he was probably carrying close to his body weight in extra gear, just in extra gear. Bosco, I said, what are you doing with all that equipment? In his awesome accent, he goes, Smitty, come to me. He say, Bosco, you carried the gun. I say, okay. And then Johnson come to me. He said, Bosco, you carry the radio. I'm too tired. I said, okay. Listen, what happened was everybody in the squad walked up to him at some point in the dark and said, Bosco, you carry it. He didn't tell him he was already carrying everything else. Yet a bunch of dudes took advantage of another guy and dumped all their gear on him. Nearly all the squad's common equipment carried by one man. So I called a halt, did some butt chewing and spread the gear out and got us back on the march. What I did was I lightened Bosco's load. And the other guys weren't happy about it, but what could they say? And Bosco, that man was a trooper. The other guys, it's like they forgot they were on a team. One man got dumped on while all the others went into every man for himself mode. It took some doing, but we got back into being a squad. We operated like a team. We did really well, not as a bunch of individuals running around doing their own thing and always thinking of themselves first. But the first thing that had to happen before that could take place was the rest of us had to do what it took to lighten that one man's load. Now, I'll be honest, that sounds a lot like an analogy of what life can feel like sometimes. First of all, you got to know that you are not in it by yourself. People are not meant to do life by themselves. You don't have to figure it out all alone. We are social by design. God made us that way. You cannot let yourself get stuck in the mode that says, if I get dumped on, I just have to take it and take it and take it. Look, I don't know what issues you're dealing with personally. Maybe the weight you're toting around is very personal in nature, but that still does not mean you have to keep carrying it all by yourself. Maybe you're concerned about what you see in the world around you. Maybe you're looking at the world around you and seeing things like rising costs and lower wages or criminals getting their way or illegal immigration, and it just seems like too much. Or maybe you're one of those right now who's facing this government shutdown, and you're like, what do I do? How do I feed the family? Look, all those things, they're real. And I hate to say it because I'm a news junkie, and this is a news talk show. But sometimes the weight of the world out there is enough to where you might need to turn off the news and shut down social media just for a day. But the bottom line is, don't let the opportunity pass you by to check on a person who may have come to your mind. Maybe they came to your mind for a reason. Maybe your role is to be the one who greets that person that walks in the door by themselves. Maybe, just maybe, that random act of kindness will have way more meaning than you could imagine. Maybe it's your opportunity to lighten somebody's load. That's why we're told in Hebrews 10 to encourage one another to love and good deeds and not forsake our assembling together. Meaning, we should look for ways to lighten each other's load and get together. At church, a social club, for a cup of coffee, a knock on a neighbor's door. And look, I'll close with this. Our pastor told the story once of a lady who was radically impacted by a random act. You see, our church gives out these cards. You can get them. They're like little business cards. And all they say is a little something extra to show that Jesus loves you. Nothing big. That's all it says. Well, one guy had some of those in his truck. And the story is true, that one guy was in the fast food line at the drive-thru, and he paid for the meal of the lady he could see in his rearview mirror behind him. That's all he did. And he left the card, and he said, give her this card. And the girl at the window did. The girl at the window gave the lady whose food had just been paid for that little card that said simply, a little something extra to show you Jesus loves you. It turns out that lady who got the card, that lady whose meal had just been paid for, which probably cost $5, she was carrying the weight of the world. And she came to church the next weekend, and she accepted Christ and began a new life. And she told the pastor she had gone to that drive-thru that day to get what she called her last meal, and she was going home to commit suicide. But somebody lightened her load. Look, the government won't step in. The government can't even figure out how to balance a budget. But we can. And so I'm telling you right now, we have to be there for each other. We have to watch for the load being toted around by others, the whole weight of the world, and occasionally it may fall to us to just do something we can to lighten the load of somebody else. So here's the deal. Here's what I'm challenging you with. If you're wondering what you can do about the government shutdown, well, maybe you can't affect Congress. Maybe there's nothing you can do in the big picture. Maybe you're just mad and you're waiting for it to get over with. How about this? Look around your own sphere of influence, your church, your neighborhood, your community. See if you know any folks who are facing a loss of pay, and then consider what you might do. Just go take some groceries by their house. You would be amazed what that means. Just bring on some extra diapers for the baby. Give them a prepaid Visa card. Maybe put some gas in their tank one time. And then you know what? Turn around and get three more people to do it for them too. You might just change their life. Government ain't everything, and it shouldn't be. And the bottom line is, we're bigger than that. So here's my encouragement to you. You be that person. You lighten somebody's load. That's a wrap for The Right Side Way.